Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Leaf, Lee and Keys, Real Talk. Episode, what's this? I don't even know what episode this is, so it don't even matter. But, you know, we back with that Wednesday, heat. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Talk about Islam and Tate both winning on Saturday. Do those wins put them in the title picture? Plus, we got to talk about the allegations that Conor McGregor made against the UFC last week, saying that he told them that he had stress fractures in his legs and that he probably shouldn't fight, and the fight went on. And, you know, what ended up happening is him suffering a gruesome injury to that same leg, I think, yeah, to the left leg. And then we had an entertaining Twitter back and forth between Dustin Poirier and Nate Diaz. Nate proposing a fight to Dustin either at 170 or 185. We're going to talk about that. It's interesting. It's an interesting fight. It's an interesting conversation because if you look, you know, I'll save it till my boy Keys jump on and we both get to talking about it. And then we can talk about this weekend's card with Corey Sanhagen taking on the returning Dillashaw. So there's a lot going on in MMA. There's a lot going on in boxing. There's a lot going on in wrestling. For those folks that that don't follow wrestling or those that do follow wrestling, John Cena returned this past Sunday to WWE. They're calling it the Cena Summer or the Summer of Cena. So maybe we get a lot more Cena this summer. So excited about that, you know, as I'm a wrestling fan. I'm a boxing fan, too. Canelo is setting up to fight Caleb Plant to unify all the belts. So that's where we at with that. Jermall Charlo had a close win Saturday. Actually, he had a draw Saturday. I was kind of leaning towards Catano. I thought he won the fight. I thought Charlo didn't look good. He didn't let his hands go. But, you know, boxing is one of those sports that, you know, when you're watching it, you have to always be cognizant of the judging. And, you know, how boxing is sometimes considered fixed or staged or stuff like that. But there's a lot going on in the sports world. Congratulations to the Milwaukee Bucks winning the NBA championship last night behind 50 points and 14 rebounds for Giannis Antetokounmpo, who was the finals MVP, as they beat the Phoenix Suns 4 games in a row. They were down 0-2 and won 4 straight, and they actually looked pretty good. Whether or not they can go back-to-back, that's yet to be determined, but we shall see next year. The Olympics start. The opening ceremonies are Friday, and the games have already started. Softball started. I want to say the U.S. women's team, I want to say they lost their soccer game. Maybe that was just still a tuna game. Don't know. But it's going to be a fun summer. It's going to be a fun summer. Sports. Got UFC 265 coming up. I actually took a look at the card, and the card looked amazing from the early prelims all the way up to the main card. So that's looking forward to that. as you know how Derrick Lewis and Cyril Gane fighting for the interim heavyweight title. Card looks amazing. So we're going to see how everything goes. If you're a sports fan, this summer is going to be really fun. Really, really fun. We got the Olympics. Still got baseball. Trying to get my man Keys connected right now. So for any reason, my laptop is being slow. So let me switch over to my cell phone and get him hooked up. Hold on. Yo, what up, bro? How you doing?
Yo, you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro. How goes it?
Word, I'm good, bro. How you doing?
I'm good, man.
Sorry about that. I'm a minute late, people, but we here. I think I sprained my wrist while I was out there, dog.
Doing what?
They got these electric scooters out there. They go up to like 20 miles per hour. You can get
we got them all here too.
Oh, you know? Oh, you got those out there too?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't have that in Boston. I'm not used to that. So I was riding one of those, but I tried to go off the curb, and then I tried to go off the curb. I didn't jump a curb, but you know what I mean? Like a little driveway. It was like a slight incline, but that didn't really work out for your boy Keys. So I fell and landed on my hand, and I think I got a pretty good sprain in my wrist. So. But Nashville was good, though.
Tell us about Nashville, bro.
Yo, Nashville was good, dog. I was, we saw a lot of – my favorite thing about going out there, this is actually my overall favorite thing, is how there's a lot of bands playing. I like how there's a lot of live music playing. That's my overall favorite part of going there. There's many things I like about going there, but that's my overall favorite thing. And, I mean, another thing, too, is the people that are there. I just feel like when I meet people out there, they're a lot different than the people I meet, you know, around my neck of the woods. So those are like two of my favorite things about going to Nashville. Those are two things I look forward to. We saw a lot of bands. We saw a lot of music over the weekend, probably a little bit each day. There was probably only like one. We were there for 4 days. There was probably only one day where we didn't see any live music. We went to, they had a Topgolf out there, which is huge. This like massive driving range. They had the VR set up, and it's like set up with wherever you land out in the driving range is like correlates to it has a sensor of that, and it's connected to the VR system. So you have like a virtual reality game going of your back and forth in the driving range. So that was actually dope. And you have a waiter or a waitress that comes out. So we had that. You pretty much have like your own little bar right at your stall.
Oh, yeah.
in the driving range. I don't know if you ever been to one that was like that, but I never saw a driving range go that hard. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, our top
golf. Yeah, we went to that.
Our top golf all here, they have a DJ. Friday nights, it'd be like a party on Friday nights at our top golf all here, dog. It's like a little club, man. I'll talk golf, but talk golf is fun as hell. But go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean, we don't have anything like that. I mean, if we do, I'm just not aware of it out here in Boston. So that was brand new for me. And we didn't do that the last time we went. So that was the first time we went. Yeah, we went out there. That was on, I want to say Friday. We went to the top golf. Man, even the Uber drivers are really friendly out there. That's another thing that I like. You get an Uber driver out in Boston, it's like they either don't say a word to you or they do, but they're rude. And it's like everybody just seems stressed out or pissed off. Like, when you go out there, it's like the Uber drivers all want to talk to you. You say you're from Boston, they're so excited. They're like, oh, man, I got a relative in Boston, da-da-da. There's always, like, some interest there, you know? It's like people in Nashville, I'm telling you, people in Nashville, like, are just way more friendly than in Boston. So that's something that, you know, it was like that the first time we went, and it was definitely like that even more this time when we went. And it was just me and my brother that went out there, and we did it. You know, we took over the city, man. We took over the dance floor. We took over the city. You know, there's a couple other things that happened there. Not all of which do I fully remember, but there was definitely, you know, a lot of things that happened there. I do love the nightlife as well. We went down to Broadway, and we definitely spent some time down Broadway. There's a lot of bars over there. The nightlife is crazy, so we were out there heavy for sure. And, I think the last day we were there, we kind of cooled off. You know, we went to the souvenir stores. We went to this, like, kind of fancy breakfast spot that was out there. And then we hit the airport, and that was pretty much the weekend. You know, all of those things kind of mixed up. It was great, man. Nashville was awesome. It was pretty much exactly the way that I expected it, probably times four or five. It was an epic weekend, man, epic weekend.
All right, so Southern hospitality is a real thing. I definitely agree with you on that because, like I said, when we was driving back from the East Coast, we stayed in Smyrna, Tennessee, right outside of Nashville. And everybody that we ran into was nice. From the restaurant to the hotel staff to, you know, everywhere we went, man, gas stations. It was just everybody in Tennessee was really, really nice. All right, Keys, tell people about the food, dog.
Yeah, so this is what I want to say, right? So this is what I'm going to say. It didn't go too well for me. It didn't go too well.
What?
And I'm not saying it wasn't good. The food was awesome. The food was great. You know, we got hot chicken the first day we were there because we got there on a Thursday morning. Like, we were there like 10, 11 o'clock. We were already out in the city. So, you know, we ate hot chicken, some kind of hot chicken at actually three different spots for breakfast, lunch, and dinner the first day we were there. And,
wow.
And what'd you say?
I said, wow.
Yeah, so we went hard, but and the food was great. All of it was great. We went out to a spot called Hattie B's that we went out to. That was dinner on Thursday night. We went to the spot Hattie B's. That's pretty popular. I forget. I think the breakfast was kind of like a brunch. We went there. I got some hot chicken and French toast they had with syrup, and that was really good. That was probably the best food I had all weekend was that, the hot chicken and French toast. I was like, wow. I've had chicken and waffles before, but I never had a chicken and French toast, so that was different. But that was probably my favorite one. That one was called The Row. If y'all are ever out there in Nashville, check out The Row. The Row, I think it's called The Row Kitchen and Pub. We went there. That was the brunch spot. And then I can't remember where we ate at for lunch that day. We ate somewhere for lunch that day, but I don't remember it. But those were two of the three spots we had hot chicken at on the first day. But your boy Keys gets heartburn really bad. I get acid reflux really bad. So I actually take medication for it. Like, you know, I take it twice a day, like on a regular basis. And so that's something that I suffer from. But, you know, if you didn't know, I paid for it, you know, that night and the next day, like pretty much until like Saturday afternoon, like the acid reflux was so bad. And I won't even go into it, but I'll just say that I suffered after that. I the hot chicken was great, but I was loving the hot chicken, but the hot chicken said, I was loving the hot chicken, but look at this. The hot chicken wasn't loving me. That's what I'll leave it with.
Well, damn, but that's all right, man. At least you had a good time, man. You know, I do a lot of traveling, And you know, man, I've been places, but I gotta tell you, man, some of the nicest people I've met, especially customer service, has been in Tennessee. One time we stayed in Chattanooga. One time we stayed, I can't even think of this other little town we stayed in. Then this last time we stayed in Smyrna, but it was all good, man. But let's jump into it, man. I'm glad you had a good time. But let's jump into it, man. We're gonna start with this one, man. I don't know how much you was up on stuff. But I think this came out before you left, though. You know, your boy Conor McGregor came out against the UFC last week, and they doctors saying that he had informed them that he had
So he had stress. He said he had stress fractures.
Yeah, he had stress
leg.
Fractures in his leg.
They knew about
and
it.
And he won. Felt that that he wanted to cancel the fight. Dana White never came out to confirm it or deny it, but he said that Conor did ask to have his ankles taped for that fight. So, hey, you think this fair or foul by the UFC, man?
I mean, I also saw that I think it was the Nevada State Athletic Commission. The Nevada State Athletic Commission, somebody from there. I didn't read into the article. I just saw it real quick. But someone from NSAC, Nevada State Athletic Commission, came out and said that that wasn't true, and he was basically refuting Conor's claim that he was that he had the stress fractures before the fight. And I guess he said that he was apparently that he was fit to fight as far as they were concerned. But I don't know. Like I said, I didn't look deep into it. You know, my mind was and is and beyond that whole situation. So, I mean, I'm not even looking at it anymore. My boy T-Wood has a fight coming up sooner. So we're focused on the T-Wood fan club now. And the Conor fan club is taking a rest right now. But the T-Wood fan club's coming up. As far as Conor, I mean, I don't doubt it that he was injured. I really don't doubt it because, you know, he has done that in the past. He's fought with broken foot and other injuries. We've seen it happen. And a lot of these fighters do fight injured all the time. A lot of these fighters do fight injured. We've seen Anthony Pettis fight injured, you know, a handful of times. As from what I remember, I'm pretty sure we've seen him fight injured. There's a lot of these guys that fight, and then they come out, and then you realize, like, you know, they had a, you know, some kind of muscle fracture, or, you know, they pulled something, or, you know, they couldn't see through only one eye, like, the entire fight. There's a lot of stuff like that. So when I hear a fighter say that, I tend to believe him. But at the same time, I mean, there's the other side of it where, you know, I could see if somebody's like, okay, well, he might just be saying that just to save face on the fact that he lost. And, you know, if they feel that way, then I would say that's fine. I'm really not. It doesn't really bother me either way, but I mean, I tend to lean towards, you know, he probably was injured. Who knows?
If the UFC really knew that he had those stress fractures, I'm gonna lean towards it being foul, because so much of the UFC, man, when you get in that octagon, bro, anything can happen. And if he really did have those stress fractures, and you look at how he broke his leg or his ankle, it's like, man, that's just a bad look overall. Now, I'm leaning towards your way. He came in there, he looked good, but he was throwing kicks with that left leg. If I got stress fractures in my left leg, I'm going to try not to inflict any more pain or damage to that leg. I'm probably going to try to use my right leg as much as possible and shade and try to protect the left leg, and he did none of that in that fight. But at the same time, the UFC could be foul keys because Conor is their biggest draw, bro. Can you imagine them having to call that fight off on Thursday or Friday, saying that, you know, Conor's injured, he couldn't fight, even though Max Holloway said he was there to be a replacement? But Max Holloway ain't Conor McGregor. So it's just kind of a weird situation. And me personally, if you're the fighter, you should always protect yourself over the company, because the company is going to go on with or without you. But it's your life, your career, your health. And if he really felt that strongly about it, he should have pulled out. So I think it's fair for him to say that, and I think it's foul if the UFC knew he was hurt and they still convinced him to get in there and fight, or they medically cleared him to fight. So, but that's just one of the things that come with the game, man. Like you said, there are fighters that go out there and fight injured. But his kick game is part of his game. And especially the way his legs got chewed up in the first fight. So, but, you know, once again, man, we wish him a speedy recovery. And can't wait to see him back in the octagon.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I saw somebody saying that made me think was the only – this is one thing that kind of could possibly rationalize why, you know, they say, oh, well, if he – you know, if his legs were injured, then why would he be throwing so many kicks? Like, he came out throwing kicks to the body in the first 10 seconds. And then someone said, well, it could possibly be that he was trying to stop Dustin from kicking his legs. So he tried to come out and be on the offense as far as the kick game to try to you know, kind of back Dustin off of the of his own strategy of using his own kicks. Because then possibly, you know, maybe he felt like if Dustin would have started throwing those same calf kicks, you know, he might have had injury from the calf kicks in the previous fight. I don't know how long it takes, so if that's realistic, but say he had those injuries from the calf kicks in the previous fight, maybe he was trying to lure Dustin away from throwing those calf kicks again, knowing that, okay, he could probably seriously hurt me if he starts throwing kicks. So I got to get out there and throw my own in the beginning to try to, you know, steer him away from throwing his own. That's all that made me think.
I mean, I look at it both ways, but, you know, I tend to lean towards the fighters because of their livelihood, their health, and plus, they don't get paid what they should get paid to. I mean, even though Conor made $23 million for this fight and Dustin only made $5 million, I don't know how that worked out. But, you know, they the ones that's putting everything on the line. So I kind of lean towards the fighters in situations like this. But speaking of Dustin, man, over the weekend, I know you probably didn't see it, but Dustin and Nate Diaz got into a little Twitter thing. Nate was like, hey, you know where your next big fight at? Let's do it at 170 or 185. And Dustin said he's down. To me, I like Dustin accepting the challenge, but I think Dustin should be trying to be the champ right now. Nate just
now. Yeah, to me, I'm kind of surprised that Nate would want that fight, being that he's 0-2 in his last two fights, and that's not a easily winnable fight for him. You know, I feel like that's not a good matchup for Diaz. I really don't. I think a lot of, you know, the hardcore Diaz fans would probably disagree with me and probably say that it is a winnable fight. I don't really think it is a winnable fight for him. I think that's a bad matchup for Diaz. Especially that he's coming off two losses. I mean, do you really want to go on to a 3-fight losing streak? I mean, I don't even know has Diaz even ever lost that kind of, like, has he ever lost that many fights in a row? I mean, not that I know of, but either way, like, I just feel like that's bad for his brand. Like, you should want to win, brother. Like, I think that's a bad call out. Like, he should be calling out Masvidal or somebody who, you know, he has more of a chance of beating. And even then, even Masvidal, I don't even think that one's really. But the Masvidal fight is a better fight for him than Poirier is, if you ask me. because I think Poirier smashes both of them. So it's not, you know what I mean? Poirier is not a small 155er, and I don't think he would be small. I don't think he would be small at 170 either. I really don't. I don't think he would be small at 170 at all. So but either way, I like what you're saying. I think he should be angling for the big lightweight fights. I mean, he's been looking really good, and he's, you know, on a 3-fight win streak. So I think it's time, like, you fought for the belt and then you won 3 fights in a row. Like, why are you going to, you know, besides knowing that you might make another good payday versus Diaz, why are you going to go take that fight? Like, I don't see why you don't try to call out Chandler or I don't even know who else is there. Dariush, maybe. Maybe you're going to fight Dariush or just call out Oliveira. I feel like if he calls out Oliveira at this point, I feel like the UFC was not working on the fight. But since he's not really seeming like he's calling for it, I could see them putting somebody else in there. I could even see them putting Dariush in there. You know, I think Dariush is pretty much right there. You know, I could definitely see them putting Dariush in there versus Oliveira, you know. If Dustin's not going to step up and want to fight. I mean, Chandler's trying to get the fight with Justin Gaethje. We saw his video. He said he's been calling. His team has sent Gaethje 4 offers to fight him, and I guess Gaethje has declined all 4 offers.
I think Gaethje wants to fight for the belt. I think Gaethje is looking at it like this. I lost to Khabib. Khabib is no longer is no longer fighting. I beat Ferguson, who was on a 12 or 13 fight win streak or whatever he was on at the time. So I think Gaethje thinks he should be fighting for the title. That's probably why he's not answering Chandler's call. I think if Poirier comes out and says that he's going to fight Charles Oliveira, I see Gaethje finally signing the contract to fight Chandler. I think Gaethje is being smart and seeing what everybody's doing, seeing how everything is going to play out, and then he will make his move. But as far as this Dustin and Nate thing, I look at it like this. Dustin is an ascending fighter. He's going up. His stock is going up. Nate is descending. Dustin, why would you want to fight somebody that's on a downward trend? Charles Oliveira is on an upward trend. You two guys are ascending. Fight Charles Oliveira. Legacies are based on titles, man. Were you a champion? Did you defend the belt? How many title defenses did you have? We ain't talking about interim titles. We talking about undisputed. So, although I like the idea of Dustin and Nate at 170, I think Nate might have an advantage at 170. But Dustin probably won't have to cut that much weight if he was to fight him at 170. So, if he can maintain his speed, I think 170 wouldn't be bad for him because his power is going to be there. His power is probably going to be even more with the additional weight. But I just don't see Dustin, outside of another good payday, I just don't see what this fight does for Dustin. If he loses, man, basically, he probably loses his title shot. He probably have to win one more fight at 155 to get another, to be back in the title hunt. So Dustin has everything to lose. Nate has everything to gain. And Dustin, you say you the uncrowned champ. This is your time to claim your crown. Go fight Charles Oliveira in the fourth quarter, and let's make things happen, man. You don't need a Nate fight. Nate needs you. There aren't many guys really out there for Nate really to call out that are big names outside of your Dustins. Maybe a Max Holloway, maybe a Ferguson, you know. But outside of that, Nate ain't in a title picture. don't nobody look at Nate as being a future champ no more. So, Dustin, man, just fight for the belt, man. But I don't blame him if he going to take the money fight. I can't blame him for that because, as always, I always feel that in the UFC, make as much money as you can, as soon as you can, as fast as you can, and take as least damage as you can. So, but this fight probably just all smoke and mirrors, all hyped up by Nate. So, but I think this is a big deal about nothing.
Yeah, that fight's a snooze, man. That fight, I was cool with that fight when they were going to do it the last time. They even had, like, the press conference and everything. I forget what event that was at. I was down for the fight at that time, but that was, like, a year or two ago, and I think that was, like, 2 or 3 years ago, actually, and I'm kind of, you know, things have changed a lot in the past 3 years, so we don't need to see that. That fight's just, there's no doubt, that's a snooze to me.
Yeah, because I think they were supposed to fight 2 years ago, and Nate kind of walked out of the press conference, and that kind of, like, something happened, and the fight got called off or whatever. But look, man, over the weekend, man, we have Islam, Moskov, and Misha Tate. They both won on Saturday. After both of them fought, you know, the announced team and the post-fight show saying that they both should be in the title picture. Do you think they deserve to be in the title picture, or should we pump our brakes?
I don't think Misha Tate should be in the title picture. I mean, she just got back and won one fight. And she fought somebody who, I mean, is a tough opponent, but at the same time, like, somebody who was, like, clearly on her way out. You know what I'm saying? Like, she had, like, Marion Reyno, like, I'm not trying to disrespect, but, like, I don't even think, like, she barely has a positive record. Like, she was on, like, a huge losing streak at the time they fought. Four fight losing streak. It's like, really? And then if you look at her overall record, she hardly has a winning record. Like, I think she has, like, one or two more wins than losses. Like, that's not good. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that fight to me, I think Misha Tate, like, got to get in there now with, like, somebody. She got to move her way up. That's what I'd want to see. I wouldn't put her in the title picture. That's a bad thing, especially when you're rushing somebody to fight Nunes. Like, you're not just pushing someone to fight the champion. You're pushing to fight Amanda Nunes. That's different. Like, you're not just rushing them to any other, like, bantamweight champion. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you were rushing her, like, to fight when Holly Holm was champ, or, you know, somebody like this, like, okay, like, it's really not that crazy. I mean, but you're rushing her to fight Nunes, who has looked pretty much unbeatable for the past, like, what, 5 years?
Has Nunes
even had a competitive fight? I mean, I'm pretty sure they said her rematch with Shevchenko was a competitive fight. I didn't see the fight, but that's what people have said. I don't know how true it is, but besides that one, has she even had a fight that she didn't dominate? Like, I don't recall not seeing her dominate any of her fights. Like, I don't recall a fight where she looked like she was in trouble at any point.
Nah, I would say Shevchenko.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I would say Shevchenko. Both fights were actually close. But outside of that, she's been dominant. I mean, I don't even think anybody has come close to even being able to say they was in a competitive fight with her. That's not good.
Yeah, so I think that with that one, I know she's talking about rematching Holly Holm. That, you know, would be cool. I don't know where Holly Holm is ranked. I have no idea. But, you know, I wouldn't mind that fight. You know, maybe she's ranked, like, number 10 or something like that, if that's the case. Like, I don't mind if Misha Tate were to, you know, jump a couple spots and fight the number 10 coming into the rank, because she's – I don't know if they put her into the rankings yet or not. But, yeah, I think she needs to get a couple fights, man. I don't think you should put her in the title picture. I mean, the UFC, God knows, they'll probably try to push her to the title, but I don't think that's a good move. I think I think she still needs to, you know, get a couple fights, two or three fights, maybe even four fights, you know, and people might call me crazy, but hey, you're going to rush someone to fight Amanda Nunes? Like, that's a bad move. Like, I think she needs to fight up the competition and actually fight competition. You fought, you know, she kind of fought somebody, like I said, who was more or less on her way out. So that doesn't really show me that much. Like, I didn't see the fight, but regardless, I don't need to see the fight. Like, she needs to fight people that are legit competition, people that we don't know if she can beat. So that's where I think they should go with it. I think rushing her to the title is a mistake.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think I say that division is so weak that have her fight one more person, because she was on a two-fight losing streak when she retired. So it ain't like she was burning it up before she retired. So I like her fighting Aldana, man. I think that'll be a really good test for her. Aldana is really good. That's one of the fighters' keys has been waving her flag, and I think that'll be a great fight for Misha, and that'll be a great fight for Aldana. You know, Aldana didn't make weight last time she fought, but you know that it wasn't because of lack of professionalism. It was because her body kind of betrayed her, and you know, womanly things. But I like Aldana and Misha Tate being the next fight.
Yeah, I like that too. I don't know where she's ranked, but I'll just say I like it because I like Aldana matchups, so that's fine with me. And I also mentioned the Holly Holm fight. I like that fight too.
Yeah, I think, man, Holly had her beat, man, and she just made one mistake. She made one mistake going for a takedown and got choked out. But Holly was winning that fight, though, so... That's the fight game.
Is Raquel Pennington still in the game?
I want to say yes. Let me look it up real quick. Because Raquel Pennington is the she beat Misha Tate too. Misha, that was the fight Misha was in and said that's what she knew she would have to retire.
I know. So that's why I said it. I think that should be the route that she goes. I think give her a fight. Right, give her, you know, Aldana, whoever you want to give her. And then if she wins that fight, then I would like to see her rematch both of them. I'd like to see her get both wins back. That'd be the perfect storm for me, is you have her fight. I think that's a good amount of octagon time, too. You give her that whoever you want to give her next, and then someone that's competitive, and then you give her both of those fights that you get. Well, no, to Holly Holm, she beat Holly Holm. But I'm saying, did she beat Holly Holm? I forget.
Yeah, she beat Holly Holm for the belt.
Okay, so yeah. So do that. Have the right who she's fighting next, then do a Pennington rematch, and then do a Holly Holm rematch.
Pennington not even ranked.
Okay, so never mind.
She's not even ranked.
Then I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe you have a fight Aspen Ladd. I don't really know who's in that division. To even have a fight.
I'm gonna tell you the top
five.
I
don't know.
The top five is Jermaine. The top five in the division is Jermaine Durandamy at one, Holly Holm at two, Aspen Ladd at three, your girl Aldana four, and Juliana Pena at five. So I'm all for Misha fighting. Like I said, I'd rather her fight Aldana, and then after Aldana, she can have her rematch Holly Holm. Or you can have fight Jermaine Durandamy, somebody she hasn't fought yet. I'm with those two fights. But you just can't put her in a title fight. I'm not feeling that. You got to make her earn it. Just because she beat Reno, who was on a four-fight losing streak. Nah, man, you can't give her no title shot, man. I'm not feeling that at all. That's because that's just putting her in a title fight because of her name.
It is, and that's what they would try to do.
Yeah, because I want to say Amanda Nunes. Oh, yeah, Amanda Nunes beat her for the belt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so
Nunes beat.
Yeah. But let's talk about Islam, man. I read somewhere today where somebody said that Islam is the best 155er. I think he's 155. Let me double check before I say it.
He's 155, yeah.
Yep. Somebody said that he is the best 155er and that he would beat Oliveira, Poirier, Gaethje, Darius, and Chandler. He moved up 4 spots in the ranking after his last fight, so now he's in the top 5. How do you feel about Islam,
man? He's in the top 5.
Do you think he moved up 4 spots, dog? He was number 9 last week.
Top 5?
Yeah, he moved up 4 spots. Tony Ferguson dropped 1. RDA dropped 1. Conor McGregor dropped 2 places. So, yeah, Islam is number 5 on the UFC rankings.
So this is what I'm kind of. Has he? So the guy he just fought. What was he ranked?
He was ranked number 14.
So what I'm trying to figure
out is now he's number 15.
Don't get me wrong. I understand Islam is a very good fighter. He's a very good fighter. Who is it that he fought that I watched one of his free fights not that long ago, and I remember saying that I liked the way that he looked in the fight, but I was only suspect about him being able to hold guys down and how serious his top pressure was, you know, especially if we're going to compare him to Khabib. But at the same time, you know, it just seems to me like he's very versatile, and he has a little bit of everything. He does a little bit of everything, and that's the key nowadays. There's too many people who only do one thing, and they think they can get by with that. Islam seems to be versatile. He could do a little bit of everything, and that's the scariest type of fighter in the octagon, is a fighter that can take you if, you know, he can handle. If he's taken down, he can handle it. He can take you down. He can stand and strike. He has jiu-jitsu skill. Like, a fighter that can mix up a little bit of all the disciplines is the scariest fighter in the octagon. Like, it really is. And Islam, the thing that I'm just interested about with him is how he managed to break into the top 5, and he does not have a win over a top 10 fighter.
His last 3 wins are against somebody named Ramos, Drew Dober, and Thiago Moises. Moises was the only one ranked, and he was ranked number 14. Once again, this is the UFC at its finest, rushing somebody to the moon. And the more me and you talk about this guy, the more that I look at him as being a product of Khabib. And we haven't really seen him in a fight. We really haven't seen him in a fight. Like the same thing we said about Johnny Walker. Can we see him in a real fight first? It's just crazy, man, the way the UFC be hyping these guys up, man. And he's ranked number 9, and like you said, hasn't beat nobody in the top 10. Barely beat a top 14, a top 15 fighter. So, and for this one writer, I'm going to find it and I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to highlight it and I'm going to send it to you. Cause I want to say it was on ESPN.com that this guy said that he would beat everybody in the top 5, that none of them can hang with him. Now, if he can't take you down, I don't see him winning a striking game. So, he has to be able to take you down to be what I would say effective. Now, we haven't seen him not be in a fight where he hasn't taken the guy down yet. So, but I don't know about him being able to dominate everybody in the top 5. I think that was a little hyperbolic.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I just want to bring out, though,
So Islam, I don't really know what will happen. We got to let that one play out. Yep, they're trying to push him to the top. One thing that I do want to just say is we got some news. Speaking of which, your boy Dan Hooker is trying to get the fight with Islam. And also at the same time, Gaethje responded to Chandler's video that he put out yesterday. You want to hear the tweet?
What did he say?
Justin Gaethje at Mike Chandler MMA. He goes, at Mike Chandler MMA is talking out of his ass. I was waiting for the bout agreement 3 weeks into camp and wake up to news his daddy Dana gave him the shot. He's been out of commission since the KO. What am I missing? I'm on vacay and this fucker is slandering my name 3 to 4 times with a little emoji of someone covering his face.
And once again, like I said, Gaethje is doing the right thing. He is playing the sit and wait game. He wants to see what's going to happen with Poirier and Oliveira. Are they going to fight in the fourth quarter? Because if they're not set up to fight in the fourth quarter, I'm quite sure Dana White is going to have Oliveira versus Gaethje. And if I'm Gaethje, that's the right play. You sit back and you wait. Now, if they go with Poirier versus Oliveira, then yeah, then you take the Chandler fight. But, man, Chandler, I don't remember Chandler being this boisterous when he was in Bellator. But it's the same thing Askren did when he came to the UFC. He became a Twitter king. Everything was on Twitter. So, I don't know. Something about joining the UFC that getting them Twitter fingers going, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I don't know what's gonna happen with these guys. I don't know. I want to see some fights. You know how I play it. No, I don't like to see guys set up. I want to see some matchups. Gaethje hasn't fought in almost a year now, so I'd like to see him fight pretty soon. And I don't think him waiting a year is a good way to go into a title fight. I don't think that's a good thing. I mean, if he's gonna, hey. It has been done before. You know, my boy T Wood was out, I think, for like 2 years. I think like 2.5 years he sat out and waited for a title shot and then came back and, you know, he stopped Robbie Lawler in the whatever round that was. So it can be done, but it's not the same thing every time. Like, it's not always a good thing to sit out and wait for it. I don't think that's always a good thing. I know Oliveira did it, but Oliveira was able to, and I actually criticized Oliveira for doing it. It ended up working out for him. He got the shot. I'll say this. I don't think waiting that time was the best option because if you ask me, I respect Oliveira as the champ, but if you ask me, he didn't look that good to me in that fight. He didn't look that good to me versus Chandler. I know he won. But he won by the skin of his teeth. You know, he barely survived and won. You know what I'm saying? But, like, if you look at it, every shot he was getting touched in that first round, he was visibly rocked. He was in la-la land. So, yeah, maybe he can't handle, you know, he needs to work on his boxing and his defense and not take big shots because he might be a little bit chinny versus, you know, he might become a bit more chinny fighting, you know, hard-hitting guys like Chandler and Gaethje. But at the same time, I don't think that time he waited was the best thing because he ended up waiting. I think it was like, how long did he wait? Like 4 or 5 months he got out?
Yeah, because he beat Ferguson. And then
they fought in May,
Ferguson, I think. Yeah, but after he beat Ferguson, we was like, what's next? Because that was when we were saying that's when they should do a tournament. And then all of a sudden Khabib retired. And the timing actually worked out for him. But let's talk about this Hooker, man. This Hooker versus Islam, dog. You know I'm not a big fan of Dan Hooker. Hooker is a funny guy. Do I think he would give Islam a fight if he can avoid the takedown? And, oh, man, I just don't, man, Hooker just, he just don't do it for me, Keys. What you see in a Hooker-Islam fight? I just see Islam running through him because I just don't think Hooker is that good.
Yeah, I mean, I see Islam probably taking him down and dominating him. That's what I probably see happening in that fight, if I had to guess. And, yeah, I'm not really too crazy about that fight myself.
Yeah, Hooker is this guy that anywhere where he could find that he could possibly be relevant and talked about, he doesn't shy from it. He's going to jump at it. So, I don't know, man. It's just funny to me. But maybe he shocks the world and does something that we don't see coming. But I don't see it. So, it is what it is. We got about 8 minutes left. Hey, man, this weekend we got a big fight, man. Actually, we got a nice little card this weekend. We got Sanhagen taking on the returning Dillashaw. We got Aspen Ladd taking on Chiesa. We got the young lady Maverick taking on Macy Barber. We got Mickey Gall on this card. We got Heinisch on this card. We got Sajuri Eubanks on this card. And then I know these two guys was talking noise on Twitter this past weekend. Yanez and Costa talking about if Yanez is hyping Costa off saying come with your A game, we probably can get fight of the night. So yeah, man, I think I'm gonna watch this fight night. I think I'm gonna actually watch this one because there's some names up here that's interesting to me. But let's go into our predictions of Corey Sanhagen versus the returning TJ Dillashaw. Sanhagen is a one, minus 195. TJ is a plus 165. Sanhagen has a 3-inch reach advantage. So who you got?
I got Dillashaw, man.
Huh?
I got Dillashaw, man. All
man,
day.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. What?
Dillashaw's coming. Huh?
Oh, man. Oh, hey. Oh, shop, bro. Go ahead. On shock, though.
Yo, Dillashaw is coming in heavy, man. He's the underdog. That's the perfect storm for my boy. He's coming in. He's coming in heavy.
Wow. So how does he win the fight?
I think he'll have trouble with Sanhagen's reach and the height difference in the early stages of the fight. But, you know, I think he'll figure it out over time. I don't know how long. I mean, it's a main event, too, so I don't know how long. But I think that will be an issue there. But I don't know. I don't know exactly how. I couldn't tell you exactly how with this. But I do see Dillashaw winning, though. I think Dillashaw will win probably. I see Dillashaw winning by. I don't know. I'll throw it in there. I got him winning. I don't know how, but he's winning.
I think the main thing Dillashaw got going for him in this fight is Corey Sanhagen kind of fights like Dominique Cruz. And I think with Dillashaw, actually, I thought he beat Dominique Cruz. And he was slick in that fight. I think If he go back and employ the same game plan that he used against Dominique Cruz, I think he has a good chance of coming out winning this fight. You know, TJ was one of my – I ain't going to say was. TJ one of my favorite fighters, man. But I've been driving this Corey Sanhagen bandwagon since he joined the UFC. and being it on the driver of the bus, I'm putting my foot on the gas pedal, and it's all speed, full speed ahead. Corey Sandhagen wins Saturday night in a tough fight, but he pulls it out in the championship rounds, and he wins a split decision. Corey Sandhagen beats the returning TJ Dillashaw, and he lays claim to being in a title eliminator fight against Peter Yan while we wait for Aljo, who was at the fight at the Conor McGregor fight. Didn't look injured to me. Actually looked like he got a little chunky, but that's neither here nor there. But I like Corey Sandhagen to win the split decision. I think he wins the championship rounds because of the ring rust and the timing for TJ.
I think Dillashaw is coming in, man, heavy, focusedly, coming in focusedly, like my boy DJ Khaled would say, focusedly.
Is that a word?
Yeah, focusedly.
Yeah, man. But I hope it's a good fight, man. You know, I like TJ. Always been a fan of TJ. You know, unfortunately what happened to him, but at the same time it was something he bought onto himself. But, man, my boy Corey Sandhagen has been on fire, dog. Although he lost to Aljamain Sterling, just that loss, he's been on fire. So let's make it happen, man. We got about 2 minutes left, man. Any last words?
Man. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I have last words, but you're going to have to check out my Twitter to see them. I got last words. They'll be posted up on my Twitter, at Keys Real Talk. You got to at both of us, at everybody, at LKE Real Talk also if you want to. There's a lot of content there. I've been posting. I've been trying to post more content there. And I feel like we've been getting pretty consistent with posting content there. So definitely follow us at LKE Real Talk. And then if you want to follow me at Keys Real Talk, and that's it. You know, I always say thank you for anybody who listens to us and supports the movement. And, yeah, enjoy the fights this weekend. Have a good rest of your weekend. Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, I think next week we're going to jump into – we're going to take a little space out our show next week, and we're going to talk about the Paul brothers next week. We're going to have a good conversation about them and the way we see their careers going. I think it's something that needs to be talked about. And me and Keys, we're gonna make some time to talk about the Paul brothers next week for sure. We'll probably recap this weekend's card next week. Definitely, you know, we like to keep y'all in the know. We'll be talking all the latest and greatest in the MMA world. Keys boy John Cena came back this weekend in wrestling. So there's a lot to talk about. But, you know, it's Wednesday. Everybody have a great weekend, hump day. Be safe. Take care of yourself. Just so you know, the numbers are spiking up again. So still practice your social distancing. If you ain't been vaccinated, or even if you have been vaccinated, man, wear your mask, man. Let's get through this. Everybody try to enjoy their summer the best way they can and be healthy doing it. So Lee and Key signing out. Positive people with positive energy yield positive results. And as always, in closing our show, we always like to end it on a peace.